Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand. God bless you. God bless you. I want to say hello to everybody watching online and watching in North County. God started this church 12 years ago, and actually in his mind it was eternity ago, and he has done amazing things through all of you and the people who serve here. We have over 120 ministries out in the community that are all volunteer-led. We also have ministries here on staff. And last year we gave 235,000 hours of volunteer service to our city. We're going to exceed that this year and next year and next year. And we want to continue to expand. So we want to first thank you for all your faithful giving and serving, especially if you were there last week. Toys for Joy, you got a taste of that. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about something in North County that blessed me during Thanksgiving. In a North County church, they went out and served elderly people. And there was one lady who was cooking Thanksgiving dinner to eat by herself. She does it every year, and she has nobody. And they knocked on the door and had dinner with her and gave her an opportunity to actually feed somebody. So there are people in this church doing amazing things. And we've been talking to you for the last several weeks about our Pervasive Hope campaign and trying to raise $11 million to refinance this building and to expand in our East County church. Last week I told you that we have the building permit for our East County church. If you weren't here, we have the building permit. And so let's give the Lord a hand for that one. Amen. And so I've been going over this last year, so I'm gonna take just 30 more seconds. We're out of the $11 million over and above our tithes that we wanted to raise to refinance this building and start construction on our church in East County. We've raised just about $6 million, so we need $5 million more, and God is faithfully doing that. So at the end of the service, when we take our offering, you all have this envelope, over and above what you normally give, because this is a special offering. If you want to give towards that $5 million and you've been praying about it, which hopefully you have, just put Pervasive Hope in your check, on the memo part of your check, and when you put that in the offering later on, and we pray that God's going to do something very good. Amen? And when you leave, we take our offering at the exits. Those exit offering boxes are at the exits and in North County as well. A couple Christmas notes. I usually give out a Christmas card every year if you haven't gotten it because I haven't sent it. So life is just like that. And so I will tell you, Merry Christmas. Hopefully we'll get something out. I want to read a list of names, 26 people who lost their lives in Connecticut. Most 20 of them are 6 and 7 year olds. The picture and symbol of innocence and purity and safety is a first grade class. And that's what these kids were in, a first grade class. The devil does not care. And when we talk about the Lord and challenge you to pray and read your Bible, it is for very good reason. This will probably never happen to you. The devil has other plans. And so we take this very serious. We take church very serious. And so as I read these names to you, I just want you to be, you could close your eyes, bow your head or whatever, and want to pray for those families. I have 3 children. I can't imagine this happening to one of them in first grade. I remember first grade. How many of y'all remember first grade? Y'all remember your first grade teacher, whether it was your first or second teacher in kindergarten. I remember my kindergarten teacher. I remember my kindergarten class. That was like, when I go to heaven, it's probably going to be like that. Amen? I mean, you didn't know anything. It was just like, you were just a little kid, just playing in the sandbox, and this happened. So let me read these names to you. Charlotte Bacon, Daniel Barden, Rachel DeVino, Olivia Engel, Josephine Gay, Anna Marquez Green, Dylan Hockley, Dawn Hochsprung, Madeline Sue, Catherine Hubbard, Chase Kowalski, Jesse Lewis, James Mattioli, Grace McDonald, Amory Murphy, Emily Parker, Jack Pinto, Noah Posner, Caroline Previti, Jessica Reckus, of Avila Richmond, Lauren Rousseau, Mary Sherlock, Victoria Soto, Benjamin Wheeler, and Allison Wyatt. Lord, we lift up those names to you. We lift up their families to you. and we pray that you would comfort them, that you would comfort and give wisdom to the counselors, the pastors, the police, the teachers that are going to minister to all these families. We pray your peace that surpasses all understanding would get these families through their funerals. We pray for the kids who survived, that you protect their hearts and minds. We pray, Lord, that you would protect our country. We pray that conversations about gun control would be converted to conversations about God control, and that we would get more of God in our country than worried about getting guns out of our country. And I pray that you would be front and center of the conversation. And we pray prayer would be installed back in schools, that the Bible would be installed back in schools, that the Ten Commandments would be back on the wall, so kids at a young age can understand what not to grow up to be. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go to our website and in the search bar type in disaster, it'll give you information to help you talk to your kids if that's necessary. So we have that for you. Anyway, let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Ooh, that was weak. One more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And as you turn there, let me encourage you to be thinking about who you're going to invite to church next weekend, whether it be Sunday or Christmas Eve. We all have Christa friends, Christmas and Easter goers. Amen. Are you guys awake? Say amen. Amen. North County, you guys awake? Say amen. We want to hear you in North County. Yeah, we hear you. We heard you. We heard you. We heard you. I was in the airport last year walking through security, and there was a young girl in front of me. She was putting, we hadn't gotten to the x-ray machine yet, so we were walking. I decided to talk to her. Can't remember how I started the conversation, but I just talked to people, and we got on the conversation of God and joining the church. She says, I don't go to church. I said, how come? She says, I don't have any faith. And by this time, we're taking off our shoes and putting it on a thing, and I'm like, no, you really do have faith. And I know that once we get through the machine, she's gone. So I got to get her before we get through the x-ray machine. So I said, no, you really do have faith. She said, no, I don't have any faith. I said, listen, every time you inhale, you exercise faith, because you were trusting that there's something you can't see is going to keep you alive. Every time you don't jump off out of a 2 or 3, 4 or 5-story building, you have faith that this gravity, which you've never seen, will take you to your death. That's why you don't jump out the window. And every time, I think I might have asked her, has she ever been in love? I can't remember. Again, we're going through the x-ray machine, and she's kind of like behind me, like, please leave me alone. I said, if you've ever been in love, by faith, you gave someone your heart. How many of you, by a show of hands, had your heart broke? Good. Well, not good you had your heart broke. Good, you raised your hand. It is a purifying experience, though. It's painful. But what you did when you got right before you got your heart broke is that you, by faith, gave someone your heart, trusting they would care for it, and they didn't. That was a faith move. As we continue our series called The Source, we are never going to be able to be a source of blessing to other people to the degree that God has created us to be without faith. Now, let's review the series. We talked about, one, God is a source of all things. He blesses us, and he has called us to be, in turn, a blessing to someone else. We talked about, if you can't be a source of blessing to people unless you are a giver versus a taker. Now, some people all about me. God says, no, I want you to be all about others. Just as Christ gave his life for us, he wants us to give our life for others. We talked about tithing being a giver starter kit. And God says, I want you to tithe, and that's going to just to teach you to give. And by the way, when you tithe, you are not giving so God can bless you. You are giving because God has already blessed you. Because what it is you're giving, he gave you. And then the Bible says when you tithe, he blesses you back on top of that, and it becomes a cycle, of giving. We talked about first fruits, giving God our best, not our worst. Giving God first, not last. Giving God not our leftovers, but our first overs. Then we talked about the altar, which is a place where we are a source of blessing to God. When we go to the altar, we bless God. We acknowledge God as the giver of all good things. And last week we talked about the day when Abraham sacrificed his son, how God will test us. He will test to see how much of a source of blessing we want to be by asking us to give up something. And we're either going to give it up or not. When Abraham gave up his son Isaac, he said, Lord, the Lord said, give up your son. He says, I'm giving my son to you. Now, when you have a child, how many of y'all have a child? Raise your hand. Very good. When you have a child, you know that your heart lives outside your body. It's the first time your heart lives outside your body when you have a child, and you want to do everything for that child. You want to protect them. You want to provide for them. And then they get of age where they move out. And when they move out, some people are heartbroken because they feel like their child left them. Some people have a party. But when your child leaves, you realize, and even in the process of them becoming teenagers, they start to become their own person. You realize they don't belong to you. They never did. God just gave them to you on loan. They're on loan. And so Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. He acknowledged God, he's yours. And when he went to kill him, God said, stop. Just wanted to check, see if you were listening. God's going to challenge you to give up stuff that you really, really want because he wants you to acknowledge that it's not yours. Even your very life is not yours. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so today we're going to talk about faith. Everyone say faith. You cannot be the source of blessing that God created you to be without faith. Without faith. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Did I tell you to go to Hebrews? Did I tell you to go to Hebrews? Very, very good. Everyone say yes. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say yes. Very good. That's what I'm talking about. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:1. One, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We'll read it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Very, very simple picture of faith. In 8 days from now, you will be going to bed believing by faith there's going to be something under the tree with your name on it that you actually want. That's faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't know what it is, but I'm confident it's going to be something that I'm going to want. There are going to be some things under there you're not going to want. And you can open up and go, hey, thank you very much. And you'll never see that gift again. Now, a few things about faith. I think these scriptures are in your notes. I'm just going to go through them real quick. It is impossible to be saved and go to heaven without faith. You cannot do good deeds and do enough good deeds to earn heaven ever. So when you see people doing all these good works, trying to earn their way into heaven, they are wasting their time. Now, if those good works lead to them eventually receiving salvation by faith, so be it. But it's the reception of salvation by faith that it will get you, not by works. Let me read a verse to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, as the gift of God. The Bible says it's impossible to resist evil by faith. Ephesians 6:16, it says, in addition, take up the shield of faith with which you are able to extinguish the flaming fires of the evil one. In other words, when the devil starts to shoot fiery arrows at you, you're dumb, you're fat, you're a failure, you're stupid, and you take your shield of faith and you block the arrows. It doesn't mean you're not dumb. Because you may be, relatively speaking, you may not, you know, you just may be a little challenged there. It doesn't mean you're not fat, and you may need to lose some weight. It doesn't mean you haven't failed a whole lot. But what it does mean is that those things don't define who you are. Those may be things you did. There's always going to be someone smarter than you. There's always going to be someone better looking than you. There's always going to be someone more successful than you. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't define who you are. And it definitely does not impact how much God loves you at all. The shield of faith says, as a matter of fact, if someone comes up to you and says, man, your breath stinks, Don't defend yourself. Tell them you should smell it in the morning. Because it may stink. And if it stinks, you just acknowledge, yes, sir, it does, or yes, ma'am, it does. This faith will say, I'm getting through that criticism or that acknowledgement of truth about me. Hebrews 11:6. You're right in Hebrews. Look what this one says in verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You cannot, everyone say cannot. You cannot please God without faith, because if you come to him, you have to believe he exists, and you have to believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not Rudy Pooch seek him. Oh, dear God, please bless me today. Amen. No. You diligently seek him. If you ever get a chance to watch programs about athletes working out for a fight or anything where the people are working out, training for something, sometimes I watch those specials where they have the sniper trainings for the military or SEAL training or special forces, or HBO is going to have a fight and they have behind the scenes and show guys working out for the fight, a boxing match. And you see how intense people train for something or study whatever it is. God says, that's how I want you to seek me. I don't want to be something, oh, well, we're going to church. Yeah, okay, let's go. Then you kind of stroll in, sit there, ha, 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 and then you stroll out. That's not diligently seeking God at all. That's just kind of showing up. You will not be able to please God unless you diligently seek him and have faith in him. Everything else, you're just kind of wasting time. It's not impressive to him that you're in this room right now. He's looking at your heart. It doesn't impress him that maybe you carried your Bible. Are you diligently seeking him? Or is it just check the box? I went to church. See that, God? Bless me. Don't work that way. You can't. Matthew 21:22. You can't pray without believing in faith, without faith. It says in Matthew, or you can pray, but not successfully. It says, in everything you ask in prayer, believing, then you shall receive. You can't receive stuff without faith. Matter of fact, you'll hear the country a lot talk about our thoughts and prayers are with you. Who they praying to? They got to pray. They got to believe something's up there. People don't talk to nothing. They put people away in hospitals who talk to nothing. Who are they praying to? You got to believe that somebody is listening and someone's going to respond. Romans 5:1 says you can't be happy without faith. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You cannot have peace with God unless you have faith in God. And I talk to people all the time. Well, you know, I don't go to church. I don't read my Bible. But me and God are cool. God knows my heart. You and God ain't cool. And it is because he knows your heart. That's the problem. Don't play he knows my heart card, because that card is going to get you smoked. Because God knows your heart, and what he knows about your heart is that you are manipulating and taking advantage of his grace and playing him for a fool and thinking that you don't have to obey the same rules everybody else does. That I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to give my life to Jesus Christ. I can do whatever I want because God knows I'm a good person, and in the end, he's going to take me to heaven. That is absolutely not true. That's not true. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty of sin is death, separation from God. Jesus said, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I preach? Didn't I start churches in your name? Those are ministers. And God's going to say, I never knew you because your heart was wrong the whole time. How much more the people who don't do anything in his name? Yeah, I was talking to somebody about people going to hell. And I said, you know, people who go to hell, God sending people to hell is actually an act of love. God sending people to hell is actually an act of love. Why? Because people who say all their life, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God says, okay. So when you die, you will not have anything to do with me. I'll give you exactly what you want. I think that's an act of love. It would be unfair for God to make someone go to heaven who never wanted to be with him. He just says, I'll give you what you want. And whenever I go outside of the country, which is not often, and I'm not a big fan of because I love the US of A, I love coming back through customs. Got my passport, and there's a dude from US of A, and I always ask him, where you from? Kind of want to get reacclimated to the homeland. If they're from New York, we end up talking, yo, man, we're from New York. And if they're cool, sometimes they're like, sir, please move on. I would not be happy if someone made me live outside the US of A. So when people say, Lord, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God says, I'm not going to make you then. You can go. You can go. Okay. Look at number one in your notes. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham was the father of the Jewish people because he had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and those 12 sons became the nation of Israel. Through Israel came Jesus, so Abraham's the father of the Christians. And he had another son by his wife's maid, Ishmael, and he became the father of Muslims. And so he's the father of Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Muslims claim allegiance to Abraham through his son Ishmael. So he's the father of faith. If we are going to, like Abraham, be a source of blessing to the whole world as God prophesied and is fulfilling through Abraham, we are going to have faith like Abraham. Okay? Look at one, number one in your notes. What is faith? Faith is about two words, facts and acts. Number one, it says faith is about knowing and trusting in facts. Knowing and trusting in facts. What does this mean? It is very important for you to understand this. Everyone say facts. Take a deep breath in, say facts. You should not put your faith in experience. An experience. You should not put your faith in feeling. You should put limited faith in people. You should put all your faith in facts. When I was a kid, we used to go upstate New York. Most of New York State is mountains, and my grandparents and uncle lived up in the mountains, and they had a lot of land up there, and they had a stream that went through their property, and the stream was about 30 feet wide, and it had freshwater trout. It was all, you know, just you could drink right on your knees, right in the water. It was just clean. And so when we would leave the house to go out and play, we'd play all day. My father would tell us, famous last words, don't get wet. So because we're boys, we went and played by the water and got wet. And so when we went down to the stream, there were rocks sticking out of the stream, and we would make a game out of going to the other side of the stream. And so we would step on the rocks one at a time and try not to get wet. And the game was, obviously, get to the other side without getting wet, but we would make the stream into hot lava, or it was water with piranhas in it and flesh-eating snakes and fish. So if you fell in the water, you actually died. You didn't get wet, you died. So I would make my brother go first, because if anybody fell in the water, he would die first, and then I would know not to go in the water. So what he would do is he would jump on a rock, and I would say, oh, the snakes are jumping out of the water, they're going to get you. Oh, the lava's hot. It was lava. How many of y'all play that game, Hot Lava? Y'all remember that? We made that up in New York. Y'all got it. It just kind of trickled out to your neighborhood. How many of y'all do not know what Hot Lava is? You don't know the game. You don't know that game? Okay, so here's what Hot Lava is. Hot Lava is when you're at house, you're at home, this is when you have no toys, okay? The floor in your house is hot lava, and you have to go around the house on the furniture without touching the floor, and if you touch the floor, you die because it was hot lava. Isn't that how y'all played it? Yes, you never heard that? You got to do that when you get home. You're a little big for that little fella. Don't try that, no. So the water was like hot lava, or it was piranhas, and he would step on this rock, and then he'd step on another rock, and sometimes he would be able to do that and just step, and sometimes he had to jump and not fall in the water because he'd get a whooping. My father would whoop us. Legit. He was the police, so there was no one for us to call. So there's this big rock sticking out of the water, and my brother jumped on the rock. It was a big rock sitting on a little rock. And when he jumped on the rock just went, boom, and he fell in the water, slow motion. I'm going to I'm gonna get a whooping. And he went slow motion in the water. Completely submerged. Now, we were told not to get our feet wet. He was completely soaked. And so what we did is we just stayed out all day until we dried. Faith is stepping on a secure rock, a fact that is not going to move. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is factual. His love is factual. He doesn't change yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is truth. He wasn't, was truth. He's not, is truth. Just now, he always was truth. Before, now, and forever. And when he tells you a promise, and he makes a promise to you, that promise is factual. The fact is that God loves you, period. No matter what you've done, no matter what you haven't done, he loves you. It doesn't mean he approves of what you do, and it doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven, but the fact is you can't earn his love, and you can't make him not love you. He loves you. The fact is that if he said if you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. The fact is he's the only one to give you salvation. That is factual, and all the promises of the Bible are factual. You put your faith in facts, not what you feel. You can come in here and feel like, oh, I'm going to raise my hands. Okay, raise your hands. And then one day you don't feel like raising your hands. And then you don't. And God says, you know what? Are you worshiping me based on your feeling, or are you worshiping me based on the fact that I am the only thing you have that's good? Because you can have something terrible going on in your life and you are mad at God. You worship him still because he's factually faithful even when you don't understand what's going on. Because you've been through hard times and you were mad at God in those hard times, and you get through the hard times, you're like, man, God, I didn't know you were doing that. You got to trust me. You got to trust me. This book is fact. You put your faith in the facts of this book. Those are the rocks that you stepped on, and that God's faithfulness is factual. His love for you is factual. His presence in your life is factual. His promise to take care of you is factual. And he told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Matter of fact, turn to chapter 15 of Genesis. He says, I'm going to bless you. Abraham said, I don't even have a son. How are you going to make me a great nation? He said, I'm going to give you a son. And look what it says in chapter 15, verse 4. It says, Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, which is a servant. And in verse 5, he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be from your body. You will have a son. And then it says, Abraham believed God. He believed him. Abraham had his first son at an age 100. H-U-N-I-D. Hunted. 100. 100 years. Well, God, why can't I have a son? Why can't I have a son? Abraham, be patient. I'm working out something. I got to wait for you to get 100. Because if you're not 100, that makes the story really good. So you're not going to have a baby for 99 years, at least through your wife, Sarah. At 100. God is factual. Number two. And by the way, it is a fact that God called this church into existence. It's a fact that God called this church to serve this city. It's a fact that God, long before the church started, wanted us to be on this property, which is now Liberty Station, what it used to be called NTC, Naval Training Center, because long before I decided to be a pastor, I was praying where I would ever have a church, and God kept telling me this property. And I said, God, this property belongs to the government. How are we going to have a church on government property? And God says, I know people. And then he closed the whole base down, and the government gave this 365 acres, we're only on four of it, gave this 365 acres to the city of San Diego for $1. $1. One. And the city developed it, and we end up getting this building. The fact, we're sitting in it. Sitting in it. And it's a fact that God calls to minister to our city. We have 120-something ministries that are volunteer-led, doing amazing work out there. Thousands of people doing amazing work out there. Fact. It's a fact that we have an opportunity in East County. We have the building. We have the building permit. We just need the money. It's a fact. The people out there are already serving. Matter of fact, they're meeting right now. As we sit here right now, they have a meeting right now. North County, they're doing ministry up there right now. It's all fact. It's a fact that you're sitting here or watching online, and if God puts on your heart to do something, you put your faith in what God said. Not what I say, what God said. What God said. Number two in your notes. If you want to increase your faith, increase the amount of your trusted facts. This is such a simple formula. Raise your hand if you want to have more faith. This is so good. Let me try it one more time. If you want to have like a whole lot of faith to believe God for miracles, raise your hand. Yeah, okay, good. You sure? Are you sure? Say yes or no. Okay, it's really simple. Remember the stream? My brother was here, and there was a rock over there, and all this water, and hot lava, and piranhas, and anacondas, and poisonous snakes all right there ready to kill him. And he had to get over there, right? And he had to do this. Hopefully that rock wouldn't move. Well, if he wants more faith, all he has to do is put a lot of rocks. He can just walk like that. You want to have more faith? Turn to Romans. You're in Genesis, turn to Romans, which is the book number 6 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. Very simple formula. This is a verse you should memorize. Actually, you should memorize a lot of these verses. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Y'all said you want more faith, right? How many of y'all say amen if you want more faith? Are you willing to do what it takes to get more faith? You sure? Okay. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. So look what it says. It says, verse 17, chapter 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you want more faith, get more facts upon which to put your faith in. If you want more faith, get more facts to put your faith in. So here's my brother on the stream. He's standing on a rock that he's putting his faith in, and the other rock is over there. More facts or more rocks. The more you read the Bible, memorize the Bible, talk about the Bible, live the Bible, the more you document God's factual faithfulness, his factual forgiveness, his factual love, his factual reliability. The more you document those facts, the more you have to put your faith in. So when something happens to you, you got a financial issue, you go, wait a minute, God was faithful financially. You got a relationship issue, God is faithful in my relationships. You got a job issue, God is faithful in my job. I remember he was faithful. And all these situations that come up, you go, wait a minute, God was faithful there. And by the way, God was faithful to Moses in that. God was faithful to Daniel. God was faithful to Joseph. God was faithful to Miriam. God was faithful to Deborah. God is faithful. I got all these facts. When David was going to kill Goliath, when David was going to fight Goliath, he was a boy. Goliath was a man. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And he came to King Saul. David said to King Saul, King, I can kill him. And King Saul said, boy, you are only a kid and he is a man. By the way, let me correct myself. He said he has been a man since he was a boy. David's like, what's that? He said, here's what David said. He says, when I used to keep my father's sheep, which happened to be earlier that same day, when a lion came after one of my sheep or a bear came after one of my sheep, I would go take the sheep out of his mouth. And then walk away, and if the lion came after me, I'd put the sheep down and say, I'll be right back, and I would go kill the lion. He says, if God was faithful to deliver me from a lion, if God was faithful to deliver me from a bear, he could do that with the Philistine. Same thing with you. How many times has God got you through? How many times have you been drunk, got home, you don't know how you got home? You walked out, and then you wake up in your bed the next morning. You have no idea how you got there. Say amen. Look at all these drunkards in here. Drunkards. Glad you're in church. God is faithful. And then when disaster comes, you stop And instead of tripping, you stop and you wait a minute. God has never let me down. That's a fact. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm putting my faith in the fact of God's faithfulness. So you want to increase your faith? I'll give you two things. Start reading your Bible every single day. Just read it. Read. Where do I start? How about the beginning? We're going to read through the Bible next year. We're going to give you a little schedule in your lesson plan every week, 3 chapters a day, give or take, and read through the whole Bible. You can start now. Just start reading. And when you have a question, look it up. Write it down. Think about it. Pray about it. But read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, your faith is going to stay right here. And that's on you. It's very simple. Get up early. Get up earlier. Get up before the sun gets up. It should be dark when you get up. You should get up before the birds get up. You should be up. Wait, well, birds, where you at? Birds, where you at? I'm up. What do they do when they get up? They sing, and they got no food. You know why they sing, and they got no food? I'm telling you. Birds get up, tweet, tweet, tweet. They got no food. This is true. They have no food. They're singing. Why are they singing at 5 o'clock in the morning and they got no food? Because they trust God. They ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. Tweet, tweet. God is faithful. God is faithful. Tweet, tweet. You guys don't pay attention. Number 3. Faith is measured by how fast and completely you act by obeying God. By obeying the facts. In other words, it's one thing to know the facts. It's one thing to believe that the facts are facts. It's a whole other thing to obey those facts and rely on those facts immediately. Faith without works is dead. You could say, oh, I believe, but if you're not acting on it, you don't believe. One person will say, I'll show you my faith. Matter of fact, turn to James. We're going to read it real quick, and then we're going to be out of here. James Chapter 2:14 says, what does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? In other words, oh yeah, I believe, but you don't act on it. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you said to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do you know that the devil believes that there's a God? You know that demons believe that Jesus is Lord? They actually proclaim it when they see him. We know who you are. They're demons. So the fact that you believe that Jesus is Lord doesn't mean anything. You could be a demon. The demons worship Jesus. Read the Gospels. Every time a demon-possessed person saw, and I shouldn't say every time, a lot of times when a demon-possessed person saw Jesus, they would bow on the ground and worship him. Why? They know who he is. They just don't obey him. And then it says, verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, say foolish man, that faith without works is dead? God told Abraham to leave his father's land. He left. God told Abraham to let his nephew pick land first, and Abraham would take what's left over. He let his nephew pick the land first, and Abraham got the promised land. God told Abraham he was going to have a baby at 100 years old, and he did what was necessary to have a baby at 100 years old. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and he sacrificed his son. God told Abraham, send your servant to your family to get a wife for your son, not from the pagans, but from someone from Israel, and he did. Abraham was a man of faith. God's calling you to be a person of faith. So here we are, church, trying to reach San Diego. That is what we are about. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And it's only going to happen if we walk by faith. What does that mean? Trusting in the facts of God's word, the facts of God's word in this book, and the facts of God's word to you as an individual. That you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What kind of man of God, woman of God do you want me to be? Where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to give? How do you want me to sacrifice? If we all do that, we will blow up San Diego. The Bible calls it turn upside down. And so in a minute, we're going to take our offering and we'll pray. I'm going to pray you out. I want to challenge you two things before we go. Number one, I want to challenge you to put yourself out there this week by faith and go invite someone to church for Christmas. Someone who may indeed reject you. Practice on your mom. Mom, can you come to church? Oh, you're so sweet. Yes, easy. Graduate to maybe a cousin you don't get along with. Hey, why don't you come to church with me? And then go to someone who might not like you. Step of faith. Everyone say faith. Put yourself out there. You said you wanted to grow in faith, right? Part of that is experiencing the faithfulness of God when you obey him. And inviting people to church, fellowship, loving people is part of the Great Commission. Bringing the gospel to all creatures. It's not only preaching it, sharing it, inviting people, loving them, and letting them know this is from Jesus. So I want you to put that out there. I want you to this week, and I want you to try to experience rejection. In other words, if someone gives you yes, try it again. Because if someone says yes, you're going to be like, wow, it worked. And if someone says no, even if you get cursed out, which you won't, then we're going to curse you out. You invite me to church on Christmas? What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. That ain't going to happen. But if it does, you know what you do? Take the bullets. I take your bullets. Bah, 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 bah. And then you'll see you're good. You're still alive. Pain is way overrated. And you know what you're going to do? Trust me. You'll be like, that wasn't that bad. I'm going to try that again. Yo, you want to go to church? You say you want your faith to grow? Put yourself out there. That's number one. Number two, I want you to pray about being a giver. It's between you and God. Not only with your money, with your life. Pray, Lord, I want to be, you see right behind me says the source. I want to be the source of blessing to people. I don't want to be a taker. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Lord, I want to be the source of blessing to people in my life, in my words, in my resources, in my opportunities. I want to bless people. Change your life from being a taker to a giver. Open your hand. Say, God, what do you want to do with me? Don't live your life like this. It's stressful. Live your life like this. Test it. Just test. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. Just, Mama says, he tests me. If you don't faithfully give and I don't bless you beyond what you could ever take, just test it. Okay? We're going to pray for our offering very quickly. If you want to give toward our East County ministry, if you want to give towards that $5 million we're trying to get to so we can refinance our building, save more money to give more resources and blessing to the city, just put Pervasive Hope in your check. So right now, if you have your envelope, if you're in North County as well, if you have your envelope, hold it up. I want to pray for it. And I want to acknowledge before I pray that there are people who give online, not only people watching online, but some of y'all give online by a debit. And you can do that. The instructions are in your bulletin. If you want to just have it automatically come out of your checking, you can program all that. I want to thank all y'all for giving who give online. But right now, I want you to just hold your envelope. Let me see those. Wave those real quick. Let me see those. Very good. Lord, we want to be the source of incredible good. But Lord, we do not want to settle for the good we can do in our own strength. That's not impressive to you. That's not what you called us to. We want to be the source of supernatural blessing. That we would be over and abundantly generous people. generous in our words, in our things, in our time, in our wisdom. That when people experience us as a group, when people experience us as individuals, they will be blessed. Because when we experience you, God, we're blessed. I pray you multiply this offering. I pray you multiply the tithes, that you know the financial need we have. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch people's hearts to give whatever you call them to give. Everybody has a different capacity. May they give according to their capacity. And Lord, we thank you so much for the financial miracles we've seen over the 12 years we've been in existence. So we pray you multiply blessing to everybody who is giving. And Lord, I pray here in North County and in North County as well, we pray you bless those people in North County. And we pray we could all pay it forward and start another church in East County. And we also pray in advance for the church in the South. We don't know where the next one is, but we pray in advance you will start to stir people's hearts. Dear God, we also want to lift up Connecticut, Newtown, 26 people, 20 first graders and their families. Lord, we can only surrender it to you. We surrender it to you and pray your incredible mercy in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you when you leave. The boxes are on the wall. God bless you. We'll see you next week. By the way, how many of y'all, one more time, raise your hand. How many of y'all want your faith to be increased? All right, let's go, let's go, let's go. We have our pastoral support team will be down here at the end to pray with you. Give me volume. One more time. How many of y'all want your faith to increase?
Under the shadow of the cross.